Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to the Satellite Sisters. It's great to be here. It's Sunday, July 29th. We are broadcasting from our Southern California Olympic headquarters. This is Leanne Dolan in Pasadena with my co-hosts on this special Satellite Sisters. Sheila Dolan, you're managing your monitor in South Pasadena.
It's Olympic fever, Leanne. I was just at the school. A lot of Ryan Lochte wannabes. It was great. Great feeling.
And then, Liz, you're there in Santa Monica. How are things going? We're going to talk about the Olympics extensively, but yeah. Just quick hit, viewing.
Yeah.
I have to confess,
there was one point yesterday where I had three televisions on in my home, just in different rooms, on different networks, just so I could stroll from room to room and get the whole Olympic big picture. Today, I've moved into the online viewing experience. I know we're going to talk about that later, but whoa, there's a lot of TV, which... You know, I'm thrilled about, totally thrilled.
But first, we're going to start with an unexpected story. The headline this week we heard from, Sheila, I don't know if you heard, but I heard from Liz. I am making my directorial debut with Oscar-winning actress.
Yes, I'm so curious. Tell all, Liz.
Oh, this
what
is so
is
funny.
Happening?
Okay, so last weekend, I had to work all weekend. And part of mainly what I was working on, you know, I work for a big international cable TV network. And that is related to the Fox channel here in the U.S., like, you know, American Idol Fox, Glee Fox, New Girl Fox, that Fox, and also to FX. So for the first time ever in the history of the international channels, we were allowed to come and shoot the talent on those shows doing things for us. And,
ooh.
Leanne, you know what this is like at a shoot. It's what they call the big Mondo shoots. I can recall back your life in sports where you would organize these shoots like where a whole Olympic team would be coming in, and it's like, stand here to do TV, stand here to do print, stand here for the catalog. You know, you've had this experience.
Right. There are like 80 people literally shooting different cameras at once.
Yes.
For different purposes.
Yes.
Still
yes.
Cameras, film cameras, video cameras, everything. Because you have like an hour or less of their time. And
right.
You just have to roll every single minute.
Right. So the way this works in my company is usually the United States shoots everything. And then if there's something we need, we just borrow it from the U.S. But this year we talked them into letting us also shoot our own stuff. Which I thought we were on top of until a scheduling snafu worked its way in last Saturday. So imagine there's a big studio in Hollywood where all of the casts from the new Fox shows and the returning Fox shows like Glee and that, they're all going through five different stages where they're all being shot. And so we're the sixth stage, and we have a director and a crew and a couple of my people, and we're there, and we're just shooting stuff that we will use on commercials for the shows in the rest of the world. But then at the same time, at the sister channel, FX, an hour away in Redondo Beach, was shooting the entire cast of American Horror Story, which is another show that we market all over the world. So, like, on the one hand, over here, you've got Glee and New Girl and, like, all the fun stuff happening in Hollywood, and then you have the dark, scary American Horror Story cast down in Redondo Beach. So, in the morning, we're shooting in Hollywood, and it's tense, but it's good. We're kind of on a roll. But then we realize we have to run down to the other shoot because now the American Horror Story cast is available and on set, and we have to go shoot them. And so we go down there, and then they aren't really prepared for us, and things start running late, and, you know, one thing led to another, and my whole director and crew had to go back to the Hollywood set to shoot the cast of Glee, Sheila, yes. And so they're like, okay, who can just stay here? Who can direct the talent for the rest of the day? who can direct the talent? Like, there's somebody else here who can shoot it. There's an assistant director here that you can borrow, and there's the lighting people you can borrow, and there are all plenty of technical people around, but we just need who can be our director. And we kind of look among ourselves, and we realize, really, the core group has to go back to the other shoot. So the big question is, of course, one of the stars of American Horror Story, who we don't even know if she's agreed to, like, be in our shoot yet, but she's going to come to the stage any minute now, is Jessica Lange.
So, oh, my goodness.
So,
Nina Burtmuller, come on, Liz.
So who is going to stay behind to tell Jessica Lange what to do while the rest of the group leaves to go back to the Hollywood set, where, of course, they only have to tell Jane Lynch what to do? And she, you know, I just imagine, like, who do you think is easier to direct, Jane Lynch or Jessica Lange?
I mean, Jessica Lange needs a director. She's such a diva. She has to have someone telling her what to do so she feels like a star.
But she does not need me telling her what to do, Sheila.
Did you do it?
Okay, so here's what I did. So there are several other people in the cast, too, obviously. So I warmed up on a few of the other people. Thank goodness. So let's see. Who else came through? Like, Chloe Sevigny came through.
Ooh,
you know, so I could work with her and say, oh, here's what we need you to do. And this wasn't anything complicated. If there were no lines, for instance. There was no audio.
They didn't need to cry on camera.
No. This was like, I needed like 10 minutes of moving your arms around. You know, it's what they call
it. What did you tell them to do? What did you tell Chloe Sevigny to do?
Well, I cannot tell you that, Sheila, because it is, of course, rooted in her character, which is still secret. So,
Liz.
So I know what she's playing in the new season, but I am not allowed to tell you what she is playing in the new season. So, and the same with, I directed Joseph Fiennes, who is a very nice
person. Joseph Fiennes? I love him.
I know.
Shakespeare in love.
Yeah. He was actually really, really nice. And even at the end, there was a whole thing where, you know, I said, could you do something that, like, what would your character do in this situation? You know, isn't that what directors...
What would your character do? Nina Wertmuller.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well,
Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah,
but the funny thing is, he and, do you know who James Cromwell is?
Yeah.
Okay, he's almost
another
like just,
Academy Award winning actor.
Whatever. So I said the same thing to him. Like, and they both had the same answer to me separately. They said, well, you know, we haven't actually started shooting the show yet, so I don't know what my character would do. I haven't really started to work on that yet. I'm like, oh, darn. I was hoping you might have some mannerisms or something.
And okay, pretend you're in an elevator and you're trying to get out.
Okay.
That would be a good one, Liz.
Okay, but I know you think telling them what to do would be the hardest part. But here's what I would like to reveal.
No, not for you, Liz. Actually,
exactly.
I don't believe that's hard. You've been telling us what to do.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so that sort of having an actor standing there and saying, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, here's what we need, here's the context, that was actually pretty easy and not very intimidating until Jessica Lange came out. The part that was really hard, there were two things I could not do that made me so embarrassed, I could not choke them out. The first was to say this, action.
Yeah.
I felt like such an idiot saying that. I would look at the first, the director and the director of photographer, and they'd give me the sign like, okay, we're rolling, blah, blah, blah. You know, Lee, and you've been on a set, they say lots of things like, okay, settle, right. Okay, we have speed, we have blah, 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 blah. And then right when I was supposed to yell action, because I've heard all of those preliminary blah, blah, blahs, I just can't say it. And so I would just say to the actor, okay, you can start now.
You did?
Because they need you to say something.
I know.
That's why people say action. It's
yes.
not just, like, there are 100 people there. People need to know.
Yes, exactly.
Action. They need to know when we're rolling.
Yes.
So, yep.
Yes. And so here's what I realized. The hard part of directing for me was not the bossing the actors around. It was, like, saying the words that told the whole crew what to do. Like, okay, action. So,
right.
So I kind of worked my way into that over the course of the whole day. Then the other thing that was really hard to say was, cut.
Yeah.
Which I know.
Then you're just pretending to be a director.
Exactly.
It must feel so wacky. It must feel so fake.
It feels so fake. It was just so ridiculous. So that's why it's different than standing and talking to someone and saying, like, what would your character do? Or I just need you to blah, blah, blah. That's easy. But the sort of the, I don't know, the drama of actually being the director, it really unsettled me. So I got a chance to work out a few of the kinks with some of the actors, like Zachary Quinto is is in this season, so I can't tell you anything about what he plays either. So then finally, Jessica Lange comes out. You know, that's pretty intimidating.
Yes.
Because we're so low man on the totem pole in this whole shoot, right? So I just don't want to do anything that is going to get her so mad she, like, storms away, you know, and refuses to come out of her trailer and do all of the other things she is really supposed to do. So I kind of just introduce myself and I explain what we're doing and she's listening. And because it's no audio, it's just video. As I say, it was all about getting people to do things with their arms and a few other things that I won't bother to explain to you. And I can't tell you who her character is, but I can tell you that she plays a very, stern and kind of serene and very self-contained person. And so everything I asked her to do, I'd say, well, could you like do this with your arms? And I did something that I thought her character might do. And,
oh my and, God, Liz.
Oh God.
I know. It was so embarrassing. She would just say, no. And then I'd say, okay, how would you do this? And she'd say, which is a very actorly thing to say, she'd say, that's a little too on the nose. In other words, I'm doing something that everyone would expect my character to do. So, of course, you would expect me to do it. But in a million years, I would never do it because I'm an Oscar award-winning actress, right? So, but she's not saying that. She's just communicating that with her eyes. And she's just saying, no. So...
That's excellent.
But anyway, so we work through it. We get through the whole thing. It was actually really kind of fun. And by the end, I was counting on the director of photography was sort of giving me a few hints in between the various things so that I could take on the character of director a little bit more. Because
I'm surprised she didn't have her own DP with special gel lenses.
Yes. That's who the DP was, Sheila. So once I figured out that it was actually her personal DP.
How does she look? How does she look in real life?
Fantastic. And she was actually very nice. I mean, I'm joking because, of course, she's rejecting my direction.
Right.
any self-respecting actress would do that. Who are you? No, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you're asking me to do. So, but she was
okay, can you rub your belly and pat your head?
Okay, no. Pretend you're a cat on a hot tin roof. Okay.
See, if I could tell you more about her character, it would be more revealing, but I can't because that's a secret. But
it's just funny the way it is, Liz. She told you no. I mean, point blank, you know, just like.
No.
Yeah, so, but at that point, that's when I had learned that the DP had worked with her many times before, and that's why he was on the shoot. So I recruited him to do some of the conversation about what we were trying to get. So he was being my co-director at this point, which was totally fine. But at the very end, you know, we got it all done. The crew, you know, by the time I got to her, I was kind of on a roll. So I did say, cut at the very end.
Yeah.
it's a wrap.
That's another thing they said, Sheila. You know, I've always heard that they say this on shoots, but I had never heard anyone say it on a shoot. At one point, someone said, okay, this is the martini shot, which is like film lingo for the last shot of the day. And I was just thinking to myself, that's so cool. I just actually heard someone say martini shot. So all that kind of stuff. It's like you've seen it in the movies. And when it's a movie about making movies, and there I was for those brief moments, kind of having to play the role of of Lena Wertmuller. So anyway.
Do you have the bug? Do you think you might want to go into directing at this point?
It's very technical, Sheila. So I don't think it's something that I would really get on board with. As I say, telling the actors what to do, you can kind of imagine a little bit what you want them to do. But so much of it, the guy kept asking me like technical questions about lights and things. I'm like, here was my whole answer to that was, how does she usually like to be lit? Let's do that. Yes.
That's a good one, Liz.
Yeah. I mean, really.
More Phil? Liz, did you want more Phil? Did you want the 110s on or the 220s?
Keep the shutter open.
I know. Yeah. He said, just have them look up to the breezy. I'm like, and I look up, I'm like, what the hell is a breezy? And then luckily there's a big light with kind of an umbrella around it. And the umbrella actually said breezy on it. So I'm like, okay, I got that. But B-R-E-I-S-E, you know, so whatever. So I'm working the breezy. I'm calling action. I'm calling cut. I'm telling several Oscar winning actors what to do. And that's when I texted you, Leon, I think, right?
Yeah.
From the shoot that I was making.
Yeah, I was concerned and I couldn't believe it, frankly. I was stunned and concerned for you, Liz. You were really directing them. Well, Liz, congratulations. And I think maybe now you're ready to tackle the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. It seems like you could pole vault right from this triumph to...
I have so much more respect for Danny Boyle now that I've been through my own directorial debut. I could relate to Danny when I was watching the other night. I do know a little bit what you thought, Leon, because you are posting random thoughts on your blog every day throughout the Olympics. But I think I enjoyed the opening ceremonies more than you did. I thought it was a big fine mess, and that was fine with me.
Okay. All right. I mean, it was a big fine mess. It was a big mess, I will say this. Here's the thing. I just want my opening ceremonies to be ceremonial, you know? Mm-hmm. I like the cheeky humor, save for the closing ceremonies. I like a lot of spectacle, the opening ceremonies, you know, even if it's overly dramatic. I like there to be sort of, you know, great visuals and a little bit of pomp and a little bit of circumstance.
Okay, there was a lot of that, though. Come on, when those rings got forged in the sky, I thought that was very visual and beautiful. You know, the Olympic rings.
Yeah, but in between, there was just a lot of downers, Liz. I mean, first of all, I thought that meadow was a mess. I didn't. That was like a big pile of weeds. I did not find that. And then the poor, dirty peasants had to schlep the meadow out of the stadium.
That's historically accurate.
I know, but I don't care, Liz.
Okay.
That was a downer. And then, you know, and then we had like, okay, British literature, you're going to take that on inexplicably with singing nurses and doctors. Okay, fine, Danny Boyle. But those were like the weirdest, most unattractive puppets you've ever seen.
Oh, the big inflatable baby, the scary baby.
Yes.
But a lot of those characters were like, they were characters from your childhood nightmares. So I was okay with that up to a point.
Childhood nightmares though, Liz, conceptually, childhood nightmares. Where's the celebration in that? You want to celebrate British history and literature? Fantastic. Show me Peter Pan. Where was Winnie the Pooh? I mean, you know, where was he? Where was Pooh Bear?
I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the connection between the Industrial Revolution, the singing and dancing doctors, and then we went to apparently a British guy invented the internet, which I think surprised the world. And in between there was Mr. Bean, who was.
So you're thinking the London Symphony Orchestra?
It did not all hang together for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand that, but isn't it often true that the opening ceremonies, it doesn't always hang together, that they have lots of little vignettes and they kind of move you through the whole history of the country? I don't know.
Not like a downer like that.
Yeah.
It's not usually a downer. I just think, like sick kids in a hospital bed. Yeah. I didn't really understand. I just didn't understand any of it. And, you know, it is England, Liz. We expect that they'll be better than us, right? We're the trailer trash cousins, and they're the land of Shakespeare. You know, where was W.H. Auden when we needed him? Like, there was nothing.
Right, there was too much thrown in. But, I mean, Daniel Craig in the opening was just priceless.
That was fantastic.
Again, taken as a single piece, yeah, no objections, very funny. But, you know, again, usually opening ceremony is not so funny. But I thought a touch of that would have been fine. But it was, you know, then do we need, like, the film clips and the fart jokes? Again, that was odd in the opening ceremony.
I just think if I was Paul McCartney, I would have rewritten that show flow. I mean, he was last. You know what I mean?
Well, he was the grand finale, which I think he deserves to be. The only thing that depressed me about the Paul McCartney bit was that it was clear that there was such an age gap between Paul McCartney and, say, the U.S. athletes they were focusing on during the sing-along, that athletes are now so young, they do not know the words to Hey Jude. Did you notice that?
None of them.
They could not
even
sing-along.
And the athletes were all thinking what I was thinking. Where is Adele? That's what they were thinking. Oh, my God. We come all the way to England and we don't get to see Adele. I mean,
yeah. But your man.
And then I have to say, like, it's a country with a great heritage in sporting and gaming. Like, that's what they do well. And then they had seven anonymous athletes light the torch. I did not enjoy that at all. And they took forever. How many laps around that stadium were they going to do? Just didn't get it.
I thought the cauldron was very lovely.
Roger Bannister.
Go ahead.
You know, but Liz, what is the cauldron doing in the middle of the field? Liz?
I know. People...
Why is the cauldron? It's not. They didn't move it. It's there.
Yeah, I know.
How is that possible? I don't.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Yes.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
So that nobody's going to be able to see it? Is that your point?
I mean...
Plus, I've logged in so I can watch NBCOlympics.com online so I could watch the swimming in an uninterrupted way. I don't know if you guys are having that same problem with like too much choice, but it is tough to figure out the schedule.
Oh, it's very hard. And my daughter called me from the East Coast, and she was watching the women's volleyball, which was great, that first match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Australia. And I turned on the TV and I got some early reports about the swimming, which I didn't want to get.
I know.
I mean, I just, you know, but again, I stayed up late last night and watched the swimming because Ryan Lochte, I think, I mean, in his own words, he's ready to rock. I mean, he is ready to rock and roll. He was phenomenal.
I even enjoyed the fact that he like popped the grill in for the medal ceremony. I thought that was hilarious. The diamond teeth, why not? You know, he's worked hard. Did you see that Johnny Mack interview, Sheila? I was thinking of you.
Couple comments about Johnny Mack. First of all, manorexia. I mean, what happened to his body? He's so skinny.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
And the other thing is...
Looks skinny next to Ryan Lochte because Ryan is such a big, brawny hunk of man?
No, he was skinny next to Brad Rogan. I mean, he looks skinny.
Okay. All right.
Okay, but the other thing is, I mean, I know he's gone gray or something. He had like a single processed rinse. Oh, a blonde rinse. Did you notice that?
No.
I did notice that, Sheila. It looked a little bit cartoony. It did look like he was the villain in something. Yeah.
It completely fake. I mean, he had an unbelievably dashing suit on. It looked like a skinny, it must have been English. I mean, it was really a nice suit. But I noticed he was super, super thin, and he had that single process rinse. And, I mean, the guy looks old. I mean, it's sad, you know? Or maybe he just looks old next to Johnny Mack. I mean, he's younger than me. I mean, he looks old next to Ryan Lochte, I mean. But, I just, like, his hairdresser went all wrong on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like piece of tape with Johnny Mack.
Well, watching Ryan Lochte lift a 600-pound tire is worth, you know, hours on the couch.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what, though? I hope there's no... I'm sensing a touch of Michael Phelps backlash amongst the Twitter and the Facebook fans. I think you can like Ryan Lochte and still root for, you know, Michael Phelps, who has been a great Olympic champion. I think people are happy. I am happy to see Ryan Lochte get his moments. He's clearly worked hard. But let us not forget the great joy that Michael Phelps gave us 4 years ago. And let us not turn our back on him. He's done nothing to deserve that.
That's a good warning, Leanne. That is a good point because it's tempting to just move on emotionally from Michael to Ryan. Like you have to pick one. I have sensed that in myself, that this is totally for me the year of Ryan. And when he whipped Phelps yesterday, I was very happy. I didn't, you know, I hadn't really examined my feelings about that. But now that you bring it up, you're right. Michael Phelps has done nothing wrong.
He just didn't know what to say to Andrea Kramer. Like he had never... not meddled. I mean, he was so lost. I did feel badly for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought he was very, very gracious even to talk to her. Because, I mean, a lot of athletes would have just walked right past her after that. They would not have, you know, stood by the side of the pool to wait their turn to be interviewed. So
that's true.
I know. So let us just remember the great pleasure that he has given us as we move forward in these games.
Well, so today on, I was watching all the swimming at NBCOlympics.com thinking I just want unadulterated swimming at this point. I didn't really feel like watching the women's gymnastics and a couple of the other things that were on TV. And they really do crank through the events when you're just watching the, like, unfiltered boom, 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 run race after another, one heat after another. I really enjoyed it, except for the fact, have either of you guys been watching online at all?
No, not today.
Not yet. But I'm sure during the work week I will, because I'm clearly not going to get any work done. So, yeah, I'm sure during the work week I'll just go live. I've had to make that tough decision not to watch online.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I did notice, which I'm trying not to let bother me too much, is that there are quite a few commercials online. And it seems to stop like every 4 minutes. And you get a very short commercial. You only get like 15 seconds or just a very brief sponsor message. And I know they have to be able to do that in order to be able to afford to provide all of the additional coverage. But still, it's a little bit jarring at first until you get used to the pace. So the races are moving really quickly, but the commercials are also coming at you really quickly too. But other than that, it's like they have the B or C team doing the commentary. So they're just people that really know what they're talking about, but it's not, they don't have a personality. It's not like Rowdy Gaines being Rowdy Gaines. They're just people that know a lot about the sport, which I'm totally 100% satisfied with. That part I enjoy.
Well,
I'm enjoying the sort of no-name announcing team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll find that even more online. The good thing about working at a television network is I suppose I will be able to leave my TV on all day. So that's good.
But Liam, I don't know if you've been, did you happen to catch the article in the New York Times today about does algebra matter, Liam?
Sheila, I have to say I had several people send me the article. Several members of the Chaos Crew who have heard me talk about the trials of Algebra 2 here in our house this summer sent me the article. So I did read it, and I found it fascinating and about a year too late. But
Well, I know your son was doing the remedial Algebra 2 this summer.
Yes.
Is he still doing it, Liam?
He's currently doing it downstairs while I'm doing this. And, it's been, speaking of the bane of my existence, it has been. So the nature of this article, Liz, was it was a professor, college professor, who had done quite a bit of research on, like, how Algebra 2 is pretty much an educational stumbling block for so many students. Is it really worth making it a requirement now? Like, unless you're actually going to go into a math and sciences career, is it worth forcing kids to drop out because they can't pass Algebra 2? Because it's such a stumbling block. That's essentially, Sheila, wouldn't you agree,
the nature of that article? The biggest factor in not graduating from college. I mean, they cited the City University where 57% of its students didn't pass a mandated algebra class. I mean, Algebra 1, you know how I struggled with that. And
I had forgotten that, frankly. I haven't really thought about your struggles with algebra in a long time, but I'm sure that's true.
I mean, it became a bane of my existence and our mother's and my poor tutor, who found out when I got to Algebra 1 tutoring that I didn't know how to add. I mean, that...
The article does say you should know how to add. He's an advocate for adding and subtracting.
That really affected my algebra. Mm. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, I would think that would affect an entire math and science career, the inability to add.
But just watching...
But it was interesting.
What's that, Lynn?
Go ahead, Jill. I'm sorry. I think we have a little delay between Sheila and I, so we keep talking over each other here on the Skype today. But it's not only graduating from college, it's graduating from high school. Like, that's where people start to drop out because they can't do math. And then they have these requirements in college. They can't do it. You know, everybody, even if you're going to be a philosophy major, has to submit their math SAT scores. And so that becomes the problem. And so what this professor was advocating was not stop teaching math. He was saying, let's teach practical math to kids that maybe are not going to go on into the math and sciences or don't show a natural proficiency for it. You know, let's teach them how the stock market works, or let's teach them how to read statistics, or let's teach them how to read a poll. Let's teach math in more of a humanities mm-hmm. bent, as opposed to X to the Y minus Y to the 2 equals X to the Y to the 8. I don't know. So, but that was his point, was like, let's not ditch math, but maybe let's rethink how we teach it to make it more practical. And so it's not this gigantic barrier for students. Mm.
That's about 30 years too late for me.
I know it is. I know. So, I mean, and I mean, he's not going to drop out of high school, but it's just been hard. It's been a pain in the neck, and it's only algebra 2, but it's one thing as a parent, I realized, I guess he's reached his math ceiling. Like, that's it. There's no, but when you talk to Brooks, he understands numbers conceptually. So that's why I really thought this article was interesting. I was like, he is exactly the type of student that would enjoy like a statistics class, or, you know, he likes talking real estate with my husband. He understands interest rates and things and values and things like that. My husband talks a lot about work at the dinner table, teaches the boys stuff, and they understand that, but he's not doing like functions. It's the functions he has problems with.
Functions are hard. I know.
I remember that in high school. I had a terrible time with Algebra 2. I just didn't even understand the concept of what we were trying to figure out. You know, like, what is functioning what? I don't get it. But then the next math class I took was statistics, Leanne, and I really kind of enjoyed that because it made sense to me in the real world instead of in a theoretical math world.
Who knew you'd need it to be a world over so that vector?
That's what this. You need it for those lens ratios, right?
You totally do. There is a lot of math in being a director. You know, luckily the DPs and things were figuring all of that out with the breezy. Sheila, you have to not know how close to put the breezy to the actress's face, right?
So I know. My daughter, remember, she emailed me her first semester at NYU and said, Mom, there's a lot of math in filmmaking. And then she started blaming me for her bad math, G. I said, I'm sorry, okay? I bought you the cameras and the film. I can't teach you math. It's too late.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, We love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
It's too hard.
It's too hard for me.
Oh, so Leon, is Brooks going to make it through this summer and then he can put math behind him, at least for high school, or does he have to take more math senior year?
No, this is it, because he didn't do well enough to take more math senior year.
Oh, well, that's
even
good.
Even his high school has said, you have reached your ceiling. That's it. But then it becomes a problem for college admissions. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, some schools require 4 years of math, but he won't have it. So, and I just, you just have to make peace with it. I'm just, I'm taking deep breaths. I'm just
deep
making
breath,
peace
Leon.
With it. Yeah. You know, you can't blame the school. I was like, yeah, you're right. He's not very good in it. Maybe he shouldn't continue. but he does like science. So he's taking kinesiology instead of like physics, which would require math. He's taking kinesiology. But
that's a class in high school. That's fantastic.
Yeah, they have, their high school has a very, very good like kinesiology and sports medicine department because they are so big into athletics there. So they actually have like a competitive sports medicine team, and the guy that teaches it also teaches at Cal State Northridge, and they have a lot of athletes. So they're interested in how the body works, kinesiology. So it's a really hard class. It's actually a lab science because they do, you know, stuff. I don't know.
They do lab stuff.
they wrap ankles. I don't know what they do.
The grass is always greener. I hope he does well in that.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
All right. What else is going on? Sheila, what else is new with you?
Well, Leanne, I've been meaning to call you. I've sort of, I've actually been living with a secret for about a month, a medical mystery that I couldn't figure out at all until I got diagnosed. So, you know, I've had trouble with my feet. You know, my bunions.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and I invested in a lot of really good shoes, and I started wearing clogs this year and started buying all these, you know, Portuguese, like wooden, you know, shoes to help my feet. I'm on my feet all day teaching, blah, blah, blah. But about a month ago, I woke up and to put my heel down on the floor, I like doubled over in pain. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't actually walk. the pain would start in the morning and then it would come back at night. I'd put my foot down on the floor without a shoe and I'd just like be grimacing in pain. So I've been diagnosed with like plantar fasciitis.
Yes. It's so painful. Can you believe how painful it is?
I can't believe it. Leanne, I'm just admitting to it now because I know you suffered with it.
Yes. And every once in a while it comes back, just a touch of it, and you're just terrified that it's going to come back full. That heel pain in the middle of the night, that first like strike of the day when you put your foot down, is excruciating.
It's excruciating. And you can't, and like I got up, I was on the floor the other day, and I got up and I put my foot down and I was like, ow!
It's like they're sticking like a hot poker up your inside your foot. Like, oh, here.
Oh my gosh. Liz, and so of course I've been like, all I've been doing is searching the internet for shoes, plantar fasciitis shoes. And there is a whole underground world of plantar fasciitis items, Leanne. That's like 50 shades of gray. It's like straps and boots and like.
I know.
Is there any actual treatment for it, Sheila? Can you just ice it and it goes away, or no. What happens?
No, you can't ice it. The whole thing is I can no longer wear those shoes. I have to wear soft shoes. I have to wear shoes with heel cups. I mean, I have to change my entire footwear, Leanne. I know you did, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely have made footwear choices. Yeah, for the 6 months that I had it really badly, there was only like two or three shoes I could wear. And most of them were not attractive.
No,
Sheila, it's so funny because you know what? I noticed that when I was flying a couple months ago in that in-flight catalog, the gift catalog, that's basically now just turned itself over to plantar fasciitis products.
Really? In SkyMall? That one?
In SkyMall, Liz.
It's endless.
Take a good look next time. Because I was like, how new? I mean, really, that is, you are absolutely right. It's a whole product division that did not exist like 10 years ago when I first got the plantar fasciitis. Yeah.
So bought a very expensive pair of Merrell slip-ons yesterday, and I literally can't take them off. I mean, they feel so good on my feet. I can't wear anything else.
Yeah.
And now I have to get special slippers to wear around the house, Liz, because I can't put my feet down on the floor. My heels hurt too much. It is so depressing.
That is depressing. Well, it's a good thing you're a swimmer and not a runner. At least,
right.
At least your fitness program would not put a lot of pressure on your feet.
Thank you, Liz. Yes. And at night, I can relieve them with my 50 Shades of Grey bondage, you know, accoutrements that you can buy. I mean, did you ever buy any of that stuff, Liz?
You know what? A lot of them didn't exist. I did buy some inserts that I did use, you know, for a long time. But
okay.
Again, now, I mean, I too have the bunions. So I had noticed like Hemaker Schlemmer, for instance, that has so many bunion and plantar fasciitis related products now. They've really gone away from the big clocks that work underwater. And, you know, like the flashlights that you can bring to the moon. And now it's all about just like things you put between your toes.
Doing the toe stretching. I'm doing all that. I mean, Liz, just count your lucky stars. You've never had bunions. You've never.
No.
Now,
no.
Leanne, just tell me one more thing. Is it gone? Is it completely gone for you?
It is gone, but every once in a while, I feel it like a touch of it coming back. Like if I do an exercise that I'm not used to. Initially the first time I got it was after one of those freaking parent-child soccer games at AYSO. Like, I was out there, like, running up and down the field pretending I knew how to play soccer, and the next day I couldn't walk. So anytime I'm called upon to do, like, running, I don't really run. And so, like, anywhere for any reason. And so anything that requires, like, running is
the
rough.
The pain is indescribable. I mean,
it is. I know.
You feel, I mean, it's just, I fell over. I mean, I couldn't even walk in my own carpeted apartment.
I know.
Like, even the carpet hurt.
I know.
Okay. Well, okay. Good luck with that.
I know we get a lot of emails. I know the plantar people are out there. So I'm with you. I'm now with you. I've turned my life over to soft shoes.
Okay, right. That's a very dramatic announcement. Thank you. Oh, hey, I just want to throw in something I hadn't put when we were talking about what to talk about. The on a brief entertainment note, I don't know if I'm the only one that's very excited about Jeremy Renner in the Newborn movie. Just want to say, I am extremely excited about Jeremy Renner in the Newborn movie. And I am so excited about having a Newborn movie that the other day, Friday, I was coming home. You know, I was on a very long plane ride and home to Los Angeles because I had been away all week. And I watched all three of the previous Bourne movies on the on the plane. I am totally up to date with any of the backstories, any of the, like, the who's who, the how did this get started. I saw all three Matt Damon versions. And, you know, and who doesn't love a good Bourne movie? Sheila, has Entertaining Sheila ever reviewed the Bourne movies? I'm assuming that you like them.
Oh, I absolutely love them, but I think I don't think I've ever reviewed them. But Liz, let's do it. Let's do an Entertaining Sheila,
right?
For the Newborn, because
the Bourne legacy. So here's one thing you do notice if you watch three Bourne movies back to back, which is what I did on Friday, is that in every movie, somebody says to him, "You really don't remember anything, do you?" And in every movie...
Ooh, Liz. Liz is turning into a director.
In every movie, somebody says that to him just to remind you, like, he's got amnesia, people. In case you didn't see the previous movie, yeah, he doesn't remember. So somebody always says, "You really don't remember anything, do you?" And then in every movie, he also says, "It started here, it's going to end here." And so I'm just wondering, I'm sure line number one, "You really don't remember anything, do you?" Jeremy Renner will have to say that in Bourne Legacy, but it started here, it's going to end here. How they work that in, considering the fact that we're starting a whole new story, you know, you've probably seen the whole teaser campaign running everywhere about "there was never only one."
Well, yeah. That's a good line.
That's a great line.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you can say to Jason Bourne, "What would your character do?" I mean, Jeremy, if you had Jeremy Renner alone, what would you say? "Flap like a bird?"
Yes. Jeremy? Yeah. "Could you just do something with your arms, Jeremy? Could you just have your arms up here and then bring them down here? Could you pretend you're holding a sign, Jeremy? Because that's what we're going to be inserting in your hands." Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I have a feeling that Jeremy Renner would play along, you know, like Daniel Craig.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Let's see what else. Oh, I did want to make one mention of the winners of our fitness challenge. We have not gotten around to recording our interviews with them yet because we've had a lot of other things going on. But we did hear back from all three of them, heard us talking about the fact that they were a winner on the show. So I just wanted to let you know that Mary wrote back, and there was some drama in the Facebook group talking about this, about whether what was being measured was kilometers or miles. And Leanne, you raised the issue that the miles seemed to be super high. And one possible explanation is that people were logging in as kilometers instead of miles.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because those were high mileage totals for just normal human beings.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Meb Keflezi, maybe, but otherwise.
So Mary wanted to set the record straight that her mileage was actually 638. And she asked the question, "I'm not sure if this still puts me in the top three." Yes, Mary, whatever. It was malfunctioning for everyone. So you're still a winner, Mary. So we will be talking to you soon. And then Amy.
Good use of algebra. Thank you.
Okay. See, if the software...
We can't do that conversion, so good. You win.
Well, I figure if it was her problem, it was everyone's problem, so everyone was less. So that's just... I'm going with that. And next time, we'll make it more fair. But this time, who knows what happened. Then our next winner was Amy Bansack, and she was really surprised because for most of the term of the challenge, she had been 7th, 8th, or 9th, and she was just fighting to stay in the top 10. But then she surged at the end. And she said, "I am a teacher librarian, so I had more time for running in the past month than most people." So that middle of June to middle of July is when she surged into the top three. So good for her. You know, she.
Wow.
Yeah. Good for her. And she wanted us to know that her husband is from Fairfield, Connecticut. Which is where we grew up, in case you didn't know that. I mean, of course, I know Sheila and Leon, you know this. And that she listened to us on the radio years ago, and she just recently found us on iTunes, and she was very, very happy to find us again on iTunes. So thank you for that, Amy. And then the last person who wrote in was Barry Leslie. And Barry, I have to say to you, I know your email address is Barry Leslie, but I just assumed your name was Leslie Barry. So thank you for writing it. Her name is actually Barry Leslie. So I get it. And she lives in Salem, Oregon, which, of course, is not very far from Portland, where Sister Monica lives and where several of us have lived over time. But she wanted us to know that she will be in China most of August adopting a baby. So if we can't reach her to tape the interview, it's because she has already left for China, but she will have her computer with her, and she would love to talk to us if the times can align. So we will definitely work on that. We'll get all three of our winners on the show at some point in the next month once we figure out the timing and get some kinks out of this Skype system. It does seemly in the last couple of weeks that we've had some Skype challenges, wouldn't you say?
I think Sheila and I must have a delay because we are on top of each other, and that doesn't usually happen. Sheila usually lets me talk and vice versa.
Especially about such topics as plantar fasciitis.
Yes.
Well, Leah, maybe we need to end on an optimistic Olympic note because you thought the opening ceremony was a little bit too much of a downer for you. So I just want to say, how about Beckham on that speedboat? Come on. Nice
again
moment.
That was so exciting. I really thought the whole rest of the torch thing was going to be fantastic. So yeah, Beckham on the speedboat, fantastic. Like, yes, great. He couldn't touch the torch because he wasn't an Olympian, but that was fantastic.
Yeah, okay, all right, good.
No, well, I was on board with some of the stuff list. Anything that was sort of ceremonial, I liked any of the ceremony, but again, there you go. But I don't want to go down. We're moving on. I'm sure the closing ceremony will be great. Adele. That's all I'm saying.
They must be saving her for the closing ceremonies, right? They must be. How could they not? I also heard Russell Brand being interviewed last week, and the interviewer asked him if it was true he had heard a rumor that he was going to be in the closing ceremonies. And he did not deny that, and he made some joke about he might be singing in the closing ceremonies. So there's your comedy. anyway, so don't forget, if you want to be part of our Facebook group, you can just find us on Facebook. It's the Satellite Sisters group, and join us there. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're at Sat Sisters. Leon, you will be blogging. You're going to do your Olympic random thoughts every day during the games. Is that your goal?
I am going to try for every day. I have a family vacation I have to go on that could cut back on some of my viewing time. But no, I'm going to try for every day, just fun things over at Chaos Chronicles. I'll be putting the links at the Satellite Sisters Facebook page too. So it's like, imagine if we're watching TV together. That's what the random thoughts are. We're all sitting on the same couch watching the coverage together. So you'll get anything. You'll get sports coverage. You'll get coverage. I comment on the commercials, any Twitter wars that might have popped up. But I'm going to try to do that every day of the Olympics.
Okay. All right, sisters. So Altius, Sidious, Fortius, right?
Okay. Yes, Liz.
We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.